Leaving Organa to distract himself with more legislative brouhaha, Obi-Wan withdrew to the passenger compartment and sank himself into a light trance. That prickle of unease had unsettled him. There was something not right. He could feel it. A potential of trouble approaching, a possibility of strife. But what was its source? Was the woman on the comlink in danger, or did she pose a threat to himself and the senator? Was this meeting a trap? Was he about to fly into another unanticipated explosion? Would this leap of faith prove fatal? He couldn't tell, couldn't see ahead clearly. It only made him more unsettled. He pushed himself deeper, seeking answers, but none came. All he found was a headache, punishment for trying to bully information from the Force. Abandoning his fruitless search at last, he broke free of his trance and went forward to the cockpit, where Organa was muttering under his breath as he made copious notes on a data pad. "How far out from our destination are we, Senator?" Organa took one look at him and stopped muttering. Tossing the data pad aside, he straightened out of his slouch. "What's wrong?" He shook his head. "I don't know. Something, feeling. I can't pin it down." "What do you mean you can't pin it down?" said Organa, not quite hiding his alarm. "You're a Jedi." Obi-Wan dropped into the commsat seat. "Which has never equated to being infallible, breathlessly gushing holonet news reports notwithstanding." "But there's trouble," Organa persisted. "You're sure of that much?" "I'm sure I have a bad feeling," he replied, "which I'd be foolish to ignore. How far out are we?" "Oh," Organa checked the nav comp. "Not far. We're practically there." "What do you want to do?" "Turn back time so this mission never happened, or, failing that, tie you hand and foot and stuff you in a cupboard," Obi-Wan thought. Then he said, "Proceed. I don't see that we have any choice." "No," said Organa, a new tension in his voice. "We don't." He slid out of the pilot's seat, collected his various data pads, and carried them back to the passenger compartment. When at length he returned to the cockpit, he had a small, lethal-looking personal blaster belted at his hip. Obi-Wan bit back a colorful curse. Wonderful. Bail Organa in a shooting match, and if anything happens to him... "Senator," Organa flicked him a forbidding look. "I don't want to hear it, Master Kenobi." "Of course you don't," he thought. Nevertheless, he was duty-bound to say it. "I am expressly mandated to keep you safe, Senator. Therefore, I cannot permit you..." "Okay," said Organa, ignoring him, dropping out of hyperspace in 3, 2, 1. As the elongated stars contracted, returning to their usual configurations, Obi-Wan felt a wave of foreboding surge through him, thick and cloying, coating him with dread. Negligently dangling beyond the cockpit viewport was a short, squat spindle of tarnished metal, burnished with low lighting. A space station, many decades old, chosen from the economy catalog. Corellian in design, he was almost sure. It had that particular raffishness about it, a reckless disregard for convention and neatness. There was no planetary body in sight. The space station hung lonely against a backdrop of unrelieved black. A long way from home, out here in the uncharted regions. "Well," said Organa on a long, slow exhalation, "that would explain why the nav comp didn't recognize the coordinates." He flicked a glance sideways. "Still got your bad feeling?" He nodded. "Oh, yes. So maybe it's not such a good idea to activate their homing beacon." "Maybe not," he agreed. "I suggest we glide in, Senator. No bells and whistles, no signature at all. A nice, inconspicuous, silent approach." "Uh-huh," Organa pulled a face. "All right, it'll be like trying to glide a brick, but I'll do my best. And have you got a nice big blanket we can hide under while we're at it? They're going to have external security cams, you can bet on it."